here at the station know the holidays can be a little bit stressful. Shopping, baking, seeing those dreaded family members. Take a moment to wind down with a cup of cocoa on the radio. Tune into WONY 90.9 Oneonta whenever you need a moment of holiday joy. Happy holidays. Don't forget to keep it locked.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, you're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. We hope you have a happy and safe holiday season. Thanks for keeping it locked with us, and we'll see you in 2026. Happy holidays.
It's time!
All right, DJ Nuss for Mark 2. Blah, 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 blah. So before I get in with anything else that's going on today, when I was walking in this morning, I saw this note on the front of Hunt Union. It says, closed Thursday, December 19th, and then reopening, like, January, I'm going to say it was, like, January 5th or something like this. This puts a total dinger on my my thing for tomorrow, which I was supposed to have Jasmine Crow on, who's an amazing potterist. I'm going to go see if I can break in. Did I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Well, I can't break
it. It's not on the list.
It's not on the list. It's not on the list of things I can't say. No, I'm not mean breaking in. I work here, so maybe I can talk to them and see if there's somebody around. Also, on December 22nd, I was supposed to have Todd Evans back on for Heavy Metal Monday, which was going to be awesome, but we may have to postpone this until January 5th. I will see. I'm going to talk to the powers that be that run the union. And see if I can at least get in tomorrow, and then I don't know. We'll figure it all out. Anyways, this is episode 70, which I'm pretty stoked about. And today we have one of the great men in the world who has two first names.
One of them, yeah.
One of them,
yeah.
But what's your middle name?
Ross.
We didn't even say his name yet. Maybe we should call him Ross today.
Ross.
Really, is it Ross?
Yeah.
R-O-S-S.
Ross.
Yeah. Michael Ross Aaron?
Truth.
Wow. Yeah. It almost seems like Michael Aaron Ross.
It would kind of go better. I don't know.
I don't know. Not that it matters, because that's not who you are. You are Michael Aaron.
Truth.
Right? Michael Aaron. Who graduated in 2 years ago?
Yeah, May 2024.
May 2024, which was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I haven't even been up here since. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't been on campus?
I haven't been on campus since. This is like my first time on campus since then.
That's crazy.
It's kind of odd driving back up here.
Yeah, but yeah. You moved back into, you left.
I left, and then I got dragged back into Oneonta.
That happens.
It happens.
Well, we're going to talk about, I'm going to play, I'm not even going to say what we're going to do yet.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a Christmas song, which I've been doing every day in the beginning of the show. I think it was because I just see profile pictures of Snoopy on your thing sometimes.
Yeah.
You like the Snoopy?
That's my profile picture for everything is Snoopy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're playing. Now, it's funny when people say, oh, Snoopy. Some people call it the Peanuts. Some people call it Snoopy.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown. I don't know what it was called. The Peanuts. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the Peanuts or Peanuts, but we're going to play a song off of the Christmas album. Skating, and then I'm going to play a song by the band in which we are going to focus today's efforts on, in which we'll talk a little bit about you were saying that this band is under...
What's the term I use?
I'm trying to...
Misunderstood
by a misunderstood,
the most misunderstood,
which I think is ridiculous.
Band.
But he's gonna try to convince me.
Try
about
to convince
this.
You otherwise. Yeah.
And we'll talk about other trivial things relating to the band and or life. But we're gonna listen to these two songs first, and then we're gonna come back and attack on Titan. Right. Before I put these on, it's really funny. I've been watching the Godzilla movies.
Okay.
In backwards. From when they came out, right?
Okay.
So I would watch Godzilla Minus One, which was in the theater. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Was it like in the theaters recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Okay.
Great movie, right? And then before that, I would say 6 years ago was Shin Godzilla, and that was a great movie as well.
Was that in theaters?
That was also in theaters?
I think that's the one I saw in theaters. I think I went with my dad.
That was like 6 years ago,
I think
maybe.
I went with my dad to
It was a really good movie. Yeah. They like freeze him at the end. He's like in the middle of the, you know, Tokyo or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you get into a couple movies that were at the end. There's three eras of Toho. I'm only talking Toho releases. I'm not talking no U.S. releases here. The U.S. Godzilla does not count. It's only Toho released Godzillas, the ones that were made in Japan. So there was a few movies in the beginning of the third era, Tokyo, SOS, Final Wars. Megaguirus might have been the last of the second era. I can't remember. I have to go back and look. Anyways, these were done in the early 2000s and were trying to take advantage of CGI.
Okay.
And as we all know, Godzilla should not be CGI.
No.
No, it should be rubber
right.
suits and whatever, because right. that's what makes Godzilla Godzilla. And I watched... Godzilla is one of my favorite people. I'm going to call people. I'm going to call Godzilla people in the world. And I have a bathroom dedicated to him in my
yes.
house,
yes.
to the big guy. And... it's really hard to finish this movie. There's a guy who looks like Sergeant Slaughter from pro wrestling. That's like one, you know, an American like put into there, but it's dubbed, so it's like, but it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Final Wars, and its premise is that these aliens come from outer space and take over all the monsters that have existed in the Godzilla universe and use them against the people so that they can take over the people to use them as food.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, there's the plot's whatever. It's a Godzilla movie, right?
Yeah.
So, but the CGI is killing me, and this is going to be my third night tonight trying to finish it. I'm pretty close. I think I'll be able to do it. I can't. Wait to get done with this one, and I think Tokyo SOS is before then, and I'm hoping to get through these two so I can get into the middle period Godzilla stuff. You don't know anything about Godzilla. The middle period ones are really funny, and somewhat they're all kind of politically driven, but that's when you start getting a bunch of really crazy monsters.
This kind of sounds like the discography of the band we're going to discuss
today. That's right.
Is that what
right.
you were getting to?
Yes, that's what I'm comparing it to this. So the middle period's like the funny, weird kind of thing where it's like this, like, oh, there's a giant lobster, or there's a metal man.
Spot on.
You know, and then the early stuff is absolutely amazing,
yes.
right? It's like this serious kind of whatever, except for Godzilla versus Kong, which is the third one, which is totally ridiculous. But you know, when it came out, it was like mind blowing and whatever, you know. And then it just kind of turned a little kitschy, you know, like cheeky, like fun things, you know. Like, anyways, comparing Godzilla to this band, MCRV saying right here, Minus One is the greatest. Yep, that's a MCRV.
Yes.
I get people. There's also people like messaging me here, which is great. That means people are listening. Anyways, we're going on. Okay. Godzilla compared to this band. It makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I would highly suggest everybody watch all of the first era Godzilla movies. Godzilla Minus One, Shin Godzilla, and then there's about 7 or 8 in the middle era. That people should go back and listen to, but go back and watch. And if anybody's interested in that, they can PM me, and I will either watch the movies with them or give them an order in which to watch them, because they're awesome. The big guy. Okay, here we go. Skating, Our Life Away.
for all you've shown us. This is how we feel. Come sit next to me, pour yourself some tea. Just like grandma made when couldn't buy tea. Things were better then, once but never again. We've all left the den and tight by it. Choo-choo train left right on time. Ticket costs only your mind. Driver said, hey man, we go all the way. Of course we were willing to pay.
Okay, my name is Jonas. So now we all know what we're talking about here. We're talking about the, I wouldn't say late great because they're still around.
They're still going.
They're still around.
Do you know how many studio albums they've released?
Weezer.
Take a guess.
No, let me take a guess here. Yeah. We're going to take a guess here. So Weezer, as far as I know, I'll tell you what I know about Weezer, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You got the Blue Album.
Banger.
Which has all of these songs on it, right, that I know, right?
Yeah.
And then the greatest Weezer album comes out, Pinkerton.
It could be argued.
Okay, the greatest Weezer album comes out called Pinkerton.
Pinkerton is really good.
Yeah. Named after the infamous family of detectives or whatever they are.
Oh, it's like a security group.
Security group, yeah the Pinkertons,
yeah.
Right?
Pinkertons, yeah.
And then they're like, oh, cool, we'll just do this thing where we release another album with another color. And then you have, like, the Green Album.
Green Album.
And that one had Hashpipe on it.
Great song.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I know nothing until there was a song about the Playboy Mansion or something.
Beverly Hills. Yes. Yeah.
And then that's it. Okay, the other things I know about Weezer... they started having they stole like the Van Halen symbol, but made it like Weezer.
Yes, they have an album called Van Weezer.
Yeah, that's right. So that, and yeah. I remember seeing that and being like, they're stealing the Van Halen logo.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, when I'm teaching here a couple years ago and for many years up here, there was this ridiculous band called Treaser. that covered Weezer songs.
Yes, yeah.
And the rock ensembles that I run, everybody would try to play some kind of Weezer tune, but it would only be song. It would either be Hashpipe
or
something from the Blue Album. Yeah. So okay,
would you say that's like every year? There's at least like one Weezer song.
Up until you left, and then it stopped. But
we Weezered out. Organiza.
Yeah, I think I got it was Everlong for a long time.
Yeah,
and then Basket Case. Somebody played Basket Case.
You know what song? For the 4 years that I was here, every year a rock ensemble would do "Wood" by Alice in Chains.
This is so funny because you are multiple people have told me this, right?
Yeah,
and I run the rock ensembles.
Yeah.
And I've never heard anybody play that.
Really? I think I've heard it maybe 5 times.
But that's crazy because I run the bands. You know, I think what happens is sometimes we had a couple weeks ago, you know what show number we had?
Wasn't it like
108.
Yeah.
It was 108.
Yeah.
So I think at some points in my life, I tune out.
Yeah.
Somebody play Basket Case. And I just didn't. I don't remember it happening, but it happened.
They played it.
Oh, they played it. I just don't remember where I was or if I heard it.
Like the details or who was in it or anything like that.
I just can't. Like, I think parts of my life I tune out. And it's not because I don't love you, students. I love you all. It's just certain songs. So that's so funny that people played Wood. Did anybody play it good?
Yeah. You know who did it really good was it was like a 90s rock ensemble, and it was led by Alex Carlin.
That's right, because I think they also played Fell on Black Days.
Yeah, and that was really good.
Yeah,
he's a great singer. So, he does that stuff like very well. And like Ryan Mastrelli played drums.
Oh, okay. I remember it.
And I think Will Lang played guitar for
you. Yeah, I'm remembering this band now. Okay, that's so funny. Alex still posts videos all the time of him singing, and I always just comment kitchen because he's always
in his kitchen. Yeah.
He's always singing in his kitchen.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best fish in the current. Okay, so we just went off on a 5-minute tangent.
About Wood.
I completely ignored the question that you asked me, and you said, how many studio albums does Weezer have? And since I think it's probably a large number, right?
Yeah.
Pre you saying that, if somebody asked me how many studio albums does Weezer have, I would say 8.
Okay.
So but now that you're saying this, I'm going to say there's 12.
15.
Okay, there's 15. My 15. Aunt, 15. And I know songs from 3.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you know the Red Album song, Pork and Beans, that we're going to play eventually?
Yeah, I don't think I know that song.
Really?
No, that's why I asked you. I said, does it go like that?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I don't know, but I didn't know that was a song.
Yeah.
So I don't think I know that.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Well, we're going to get to this.
Yeah.
Okay, so we started with My Name is Jonas. That was 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling you that whenever I hear this, I always think it is My Name is Jonah, like Jonah and the whale from the Bible, and I don't know why. I also knew a kid named Jonas who I lived with for a while. Yo, Jonas, what's going on? He's down in Woodstock somewhere. And then I said, what is this song about? And you found out that
it's about Rivers Cuomo, who's the lead singer of Weezer. It's about his brother getting into a car accident when they were little. So it's about just nostalgia, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Right. Weeple.
Yeah.
My name is Weeple.
It's interesting.
I'm looking at the lyrics right now. Yeah. A lot of times with songs like that, it doesn't really, whatever.
Doesn't really click, no.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is it, or are we just listening to it because it's catchy?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
I mean, like when I listen to like Buddy Holly off this album.
Yeah.
It's just like an earworm. You know what I mean? Like you're not really paying attention to the lyrics. I still don't really know what that song is about. It's just catchy, and that's kind of how this song is too.
Yeah, they just used it to have the Happy Days video.
Yes. Which came with Windows 95. When you downloaded like the Windows 95 software, it came with one music video, and it was Buddy Holly.
But really?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at this. Learning these things.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about albums a little bit, right?
Sure.
So the first album comes out. These guys, I don't know if they start it, but they're definitely really big and influential in the concept of what I would call nerd rock.
Yes.
Right? Is this what we're calling it?
I think that's fair to say.
Dork rock?
Yeah.
Can you say dork? I think you can say
that. You can say dork. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Is it on the list?
Let me get to the list.
We're gonna look.
I was studying the list. Let's see.
Say that word. I think we can.
Why not?
Well, sometimes it's referred to as something else. I believe in the Police Academy movies, one of them.
We're good.
You know, I think he writes in sunscreen dork on somebody's chest when they fall asleep outside in the sun, and it's like emblazoned like on the body or whatever.
I see. Yeah.
But I think it's also used as a derogatory. Not derogatory, but a term about something else, a male body part.
I see.
Okay, so dork rock, nerd rock, whatever, right? And you're not even born yet.
No. I was born in 2002.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. I was born, and I remember this coming out and being, you know, I was in my collegiate days, right at the start of my collegiate days, and we were just kind of, it just kind of came and went for me because... Yeah. I was paying attention to other things, sure. So I was studying music in school.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for me, at least after that, Pinkerton came out,
mm-hmm.
and I loved that album.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good. It was different. I thought it was just a different thing. And it wasn't as it's poppy, but not as accessible as the first one.
So on yesterday's show, you were talking about Mellow Gold by Beck.
Yes.
And it's very similar to me, to Mellow Gold, in the sense that, like, you know, the Blue Album is produced by Rick Ocasek from The Cars.
Yeah, which is huge.
And it's like everything on there is like perfectly orchestrated and in time and in tune, and there's no mistakes. It's just like, this is like what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly
like
crafted.
Like a Cars album.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get to Pinkerton and it just completely just kind of falls off the rails, but in like a perfect way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's why I liked it. You know, it was a little bit more raw.
Yeah, the guitars are kind of out of tune a little bit, and, you know.
There's some weird stuff.
Weird stuff. Like, all the guitar solos are kind of completely, like, atonal. Yeah. It's really cool.
It is.
It's cool.
So you get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Good Life. Which is my favorite Weezer song.
Yeah, that's definitely a good pick as a favorite Weezer song. I'd say that's in my top 10.
It's awesome. It's just fun. Yeah. I find it to be funny. You know?
Yeah. Great music video.
Yeah. Great music video. I like how they slow down and kind of speed up. And I like the weird solo in there. Like, all the things in that are really interesting to me musically.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happens. And then I'm just going to talk about we're going to start with the Weezer era that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the Green album.
So they took a break. Right? They took a break in between Pinkerton and Green, which is the next album.
Okay.
And in this break, Rivers, actually, the lead singer of Weezer, actually went to Harvard for a few years. And
look at you learning all these things.
I know. And I guess during that time off, he decided, like, oh, I'm going to just kind of get back to the basics a little bit. And that's kind of how the Green album came to be.
Yeah, that's 5 years. I'm looking, so I pulled up the thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And they also, Matt Sharp, who is their bassist, quit.
Oh.
And they replaced him.
With who?
You know? His name was Mikey. I don't know his last name.
Is he still in the band?
No, he was only in the band for that one album, for the Green album.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they replaced him with Scott Schreiner, an album after that. And then they've had the same lineup for 25 years.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so that's crazy.
Yeah.
So you brought that's the White Album.
This is the White Album.
Okay, so we're just going to get up to the Red Album. We're going to talk a little bit about the discography and look at kind of stuff. So the Green Album, we all know, or some people might know, the big hit off that was Hash Pipe.
And Island in the Sun.
Island in the Sun.
Yeah.
Who could forget that?
Yeah.
Me. But no, I'm just... No, it's a good song.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got My Sister Loves Weezer.
Yeah.
Because I think she loved Rivers.
Yeah.
I think it's just like... She was endearing to you know, the dork scene, you know, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 2001. I'm teaching here at that point.
And
so
all the kids want to learn the Hash Pipe riff.
Yeah, I actually have the guitar tab book for that, for the Green album.
Yeah.
Like, because they, there was a couple songs in that, like I said, people had asked about that and whatever, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Okay, the year after that, Maladroit, okay, mm-hmm. comes out,
which was not very, like, it was a great, it's a great album, but it wasn't very, like, critically received. You know, it didn't have a hit on it, per se. I guess Dope Nose would be, like, the greatest.
Dope Nose.
Dope Nose would be, like, the big hit off that album. And then after that, Things get really weird.
Let's see what you know, like, because I'm looking at right here. What's the album after that?
Make Believe.
2005. You got a three-year gap.
And that's when things get weird, because that album is produced by Rick Rubin.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So this is like their weird Rick Rubin era.
The guru.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Make Believe?
Yeah.
So Make Believe and the Red Album were produced by Rick Rubin.
Okay. So do you like Make Believe?
I do like Make Believe. I don't know. It's definitely their Weezer at their poppiest. You know what I mean? I feel like they were trying to make songs for the radio at this point.
And did that album blow up or not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it did?
That's the album that had Beverly Hills and Perfect Situation on it.
Got you. Okay. So I didn't, like I said, I only knew it from that video. They were like at the Playboy Mansion, right?
Yeah, that's Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that's Beverly Hills.
But it's funny, though, because people always talk about Rick Rubin as, like, this, like, mastermind guru. You know, he produced, like...
a million things.
Yeah.
System of a Down.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, Run DMC, all these, like, classic records. And then he produced what are arguably, like, the two, like, worst Weezer albums, you know what I mean, in the mid-2000s. But, yeah, it's definitely weird, you know.
Okay.
It's a weird era for Weezer.
That's just Rubin in general. Rubin's done some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
But also, I think he just gets bands to do things.
But he's not a producer in the typical sense of a producer.
Well,
right?
He knows nothing about music.
No, he said that. And he also knows nothing about, like, tech. Like, he wouldn't know what to do with this board.
No. He has a good sense and a good ear, you know.
I've also heard, like, I know he produced the Metallica, like, 2000s album, Death Magnetic.
Yeah.
He produced that. And I know that's not, like, a very, like, well-loved album.
He's done a bunch of crap, but he's also done some really, really
big classics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
Toxicity.
He did Toxicity. He also did Raining Blood. Slayer,
yeah.
That's a great album.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 28 minutes long, but it's, there's some really random stuff that Rubin did.
I can't help but think, though, like, if he was in the right place at the right time for these bands, you know what I mean?
We could argue about this all day, or not argue, but talk about it. So. Yeah. Okay, so you get to Make Believe, and then he produced one more album called...
The Red Album.
Oh, how original.
Yeah. You're definitely going to notice a trend. I think they've released, like, five or six.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So we're going to play a song off of this, which I did not know how it went. You thought I did, and I don't. So this is called Pork and Beans.
Pork and Beans.
Okay.
Yeah. This song had a very... this was in 2008, I believe, and it had a music video where they had... like a bunch of YouTube stars from 2008. So they had the guy singing, the guy who did Chocolate Rain.
Oh, yes.
They had the guy, you know, like the videos where they would put like the Mentos in Diet Coke.
Yeah, of course.
Like they had like all those like old school, like 2008 YouTube stars come out and do the Pork and Beans video with them.
That was like early YouTube star things.
So it's definitely, when you watch that video, it's definitely like a place and time, you know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What year was the YouTube launched?
2005.
Really?
2005, yeah.
Wow, is that late?
Yeah.
I thought it was earlier than that. It's such a bizarre thing just being in the industry and then up here remembering, teaching up here, remembering when things started to become accessible.
Mm-hmm.
2005, wow, that's only 20 years
ago.
It seems like it's been forever. Okay, here we go. Pork and Beans off of the Red Album produced by Rick Rubin with the third and final Weezer lineup.
Yeah, this is the current one.
And the only one who left was the bass player.
The only one that left was the bass player, yeah. And that's why people think they kind of, like, took a creative turn after that, you know. It could be argued, you know. You lose a member like that that's, you know, super influential in your lineup and, you know, things change.
The bass player influential?
Yeah. Okay. I think he was kind of like the right-hand man to Rivers.
Okay.
Because Rivers is definitely, like...
Does he write most of the songs?
Oh, all of it. He played all the guitars on the Blue Album.
Interesting. Yeah,
you know.
Things I don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna listen to Pork and Beans here. The kids to think that you lost your cool. All right, Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin. It sounds like Weezer.
It does sound like Weezer.
I mean, it sounds like it could be on the first album.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's like straight up.
But that's kind of the curse of Weezer, too, a little bit, is like everything they've released since, everyone is going to compare it to their first two records, you know?
Yeah, I mean, which is fine. It's AC/DC. It's the AC/DC effect.
Yeah. Right. I mean, a lot of bands are like that, though, you know?
Sure. I mean, you like what you like because you like it. With instrumentation and one person being the primary songwriter, you're going to get the kind of same thing over and over again, unless they're doing some kind of like existential thing in between, you know, like where like you're the Beatles and then you go over to some other country and then do a lot of
weird.
Eat a lot of LSD or something. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, look what we're going to produce. Yeah. You get these giant metamorphoses in these bands and so forth. Yeah. But, you know, Weezer, wow, crazy. Okay, well, this is the Red album.
I mean, what I love about Weezer is they're not the kind of band that necessarily caters to nostalgia, you know?
Sure.
They don't do, like, they did one anniversary tour, and that was for the Blue Album last year. They did, like, the 30-year anniversary of the Blue
Album.
They played the whole thing in full.
Yeah.
And it was, like, it was called the Escape from the Blue Planet. So, you ever seen those videos of, I think it was Funkadelic, where they would come out of like the spaceship.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was like that. So it was like a whole thing.
Yeah, it was a show.
There's a lot of bands.
Did you go?
I didn't go.
Okay.
I didn't go, but there's a lot of bands now where I see every tour they do is like a 15-year anniversary tour of some like random album. You know? And it's like, and I get it, you know, like you have to find a reason to go on the road and,
sure.
And, you know, that's how a lot of bands make their money, but I like when bands, you know, that Weezer does like the perfect amount of, you know, nostalgia based, you know, touring, and also like when you see them live, they have a very like varied set list,
and they're still stadium rock, right?
Oh yeah,
I mean, they're selling out arenas.
I've seen them a few times. I saw them where did I see them? I saw them down in Scranton, Montage Mountain, I think it's called. I saw them up in Canandaigua,
okay,
at the amphitheater there. That was a great show. And they played maybe like 30 songs. It was a long show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing most of their songs are 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like 3 minute, just get it.
Yeah, in and out.
Do they talk a lot in between stuff, or they just play?
They just played.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Which is kind of cool. And, you know, like a third of the set is the Blue Album. Even like on like the non-Blue Album tour, they'll play, you know, all their biggest hits are off the Blue Album. So like you're going to see 7 songs from the Blue Album, regardless of when you see Weezer.
It's so interesting when you have things like that. It was like, I don't know. Yeah, you know, greatest debut album. So before we go on, right? So we're in the middle period. I don't know if that's the middle period of Weezer right now.
This I would consider the middle period.
So so this is, they've been around for 14 years
at this point. Yeah.
Right at this point, we're going to talk about 3 albums quick, and then we're going to talk about the greatest, what we think is the greatest debut album from bands.
I have some opinions about that.
Yeah, and then we're going to get into the... Time goes by really fast when you're
it
in
does,
here.
It
and
does.
Then we're going to get into the White Album till now.
Till now. Cool.
Right. Okay, so after the Red Album, we got 3 albums within 5 years here, and then another 4-year break, right?
So, you have Ratitude.
Which is a great name, by the way, and I know nothing, but that's a great name
it's
for
a great, them. Great name. Weird album. They have a...
Ratitude.
They have a Lil Wayne feature on it.
Of course they do.
It's like very 2009.
Okay.
You know?
That's the year. That's look at you.
I know way too much about Weezer. Okay, and then we get into 2011. I think Hurley is the next one.
This is the first time you're wrong.
2010?
2010. Yeah, that's right.
And then 2014 is Everything Will Be All Right in the End.
Okay. Out of those 3 albums, biggest hit out of those 3? Is there one?
They had a song on Hurley called Memories.
Okay.
That had the cast of Jackass on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like singing, like a group vocal thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So like all the music videos like featured that whole cast and everything. So
interesting.
That was probably like the biggest hit from it.
From those 3 albums.
From those 3 albums.
Okay.
I would say. Yeah.
Interesting. So, this is after who knows why they produced or why they ran away from Ruben, but you know, people come and go with the Ruben.
Yeah.
So also, the Reuben is in my top five sandwiches of all time, even though it's spelled differently than Rick Reuben. But
there's an E instead of an I.
Yeah, that's right. But the Reuben is an amazing sandwich.
It is.
It's one of those things. If it's a Monte Cristo, I generally get that first if I'm going somewhere.
Shout out Allie Sant, because I think she likes the Reuben. I think,
of
like,
course she likes
sandwich.
The Reuben. You got to like the Reuben, right, Allie Sant? You like the Reuben?
I don't know why I remember that.
Yeah, she's the Reuben. Yeah. You know, there's all kinds. You can get the corned beef. You can get pastrami. The Autumn Cafe makes a really good tempeh Reuben,
yes,
which is awesome.
Very good.
I like it on marble rye. I think the marble rye is the most important. Yeah. You can also get it on other breads, but, you know, that's... But, so, getting away from the Reuben for a second. Greatest debut album of all time.
Of all
right?
time.
So... I have a couple picks.
You're not going to like my opinion.
Oh, let me see if I can guess what yours is.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, I think I have three in my head. One of them is the Blue Album by Weezer.
Well, that makes sense. This is what we're talking about here, right? And that's a big album.
So
you say one, then I'll say one.
Okay, go
ahead.
Okay,
so mine would be Our Experience, Jimi Hendrix.
That's a great one.
That's huge.
Great one.
That not only that,
what year did that come out? 67?
I think so. 66, 67, right?
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, not only was the full of hits, but it's just changing of the, you know.
Can you imagine hearing that when it came out?
No.
Yeah. So I have one similar.
Okay.
Boston, their self-titled.
Okay, that makes Foreplay a long time.
Yeah.
Like that's a good album.
Shout out my dad.
I think
he's listening because that's his favorite band. My dad saw Boston on their first tour at Madison Square Garden.
I'm sure it was amazing.
And he said it was like the best show he's ever
been
to.
The first three Boston albums are really good.
Yeah, Third Stage I think is the one with like Amanda.
Yeah.
Yeah, a great album.
Yeah.
It's all so good.
Take you by the hand.
Yeah. That's like the music I grew up listening to. Yeah.
I mean, it's cheesy awesome. And it's in a little bit of its way.
Yeah.
Smoking.
Oh, it's so good.
But the vocals and the guitar playing is ridiculous.
Tom Schultz is a madman.
That's right.
He really is, yeah.
Okay, so the next one I'm going to go with is Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses.
Okay, I'm not a big Guns N' Roses fan.
And I understand that 100%.
But, yeah, really good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, and then you got another one. Is this one the one I'm not going to like?
Yeah,
Are you scared to say it?
No, I'm not. I'm actually proud to say it because I think this band has had, like, a little bit of a critical reevaluation over the last few years, but I think Third Eye Blind's debut album.
What are we talking about? What happened right now?
Semi-Charmed Life.
What just happened?
Graduate.
What just
Jumper.
Happened? What just happened?
How's
here?
It going to be? Losing a whole year. I mean, every song on that album was popular. So I'm gonna have to say it. But Third Eye Blind's self-titled.
Wow.
Yeah.
That I'm not even. Well, you know, this also speaks of your age.
I guess. I mean, I came out in '97.
Well, maybe not.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's just weird. I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Interesting. I was just looking at, Third Eye Blind. I don't know if I have a third one then. I'm trying to think. Oh, Wet Leg. That Wet Leg album is great.
Yeah.
That, in terms of modern stuff, I would say that album.
It's really good.
Because it's super fun and it's interesting and there was nothing like it before, right?
I love learning all those songs when we did the
Wet Leg. And the new album is great.
It's good. Yeah.
Moisturizer is really good and it's really good. Live. I went and saw them live.
Okay.
And they played those two albums minus three songs.
And it was probably what?
And it was like 58 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was a great thing. Okay, so who produced Appetite for Destruction, which is Mike Klink.
I've never heard of him.
Right?
What else has he produced?
Whitesnake, Triumph, Motley Crue, Megadeth, UFO, Jefferson Starship, Heart, Eddie Money.
So like big 80s rock records.
Selected discography. Slip of the Tongue by Whitesnake. He did Rust in Peace. He did all these, man.
big 80s hair records.
Yeah, and then some just bad stuff after that.
It happens, yeah.
Oh, man, lots of. I'm not even going to get into it. Okay. Yeah. So there's our debut albums, our thoughts on debut albums. Okay. So I'm going to go back here to discography. Man, Wikipedia is awesome.
It's awesome.
Okay, now this problem, there's a lot of stuff on Wikipedia that's probably not true.
Probably.
Because you can put whatever you want on there to a degree.
To a degree. Like, the big articles are locked. Like, you can't, like...
Yeah, they're pretty good, right? Yeah. So, like, I try to use it you when I'm looking up stuff like discographies or...
You can't edit, like, an article about the Pope. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's probably locked. But, yeah,
it's probably
like,
locked.
You can probably edit Weezer's discography.
Maybe I'll try later.
Oh, no.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. Okay, so we got 2016. Between 2016 and 2022, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What I would say look to be just normal albums.
Yep.
Two in 2019. So you got the White Album 2016.
Yeah, one in 2019 is called the Teal Album, which is a covers record.
Yeah, and then there's a Black Album in 2019,
and that's
too.
That's original music.
That's original.
Yeah.
So the Teal Album. Then you got Pacific Daydream.
Yeah,
we're not even going to talk about that. Okay, that one's not there. It's, it's fine. And then we have, looks like some kind of... rip off of Radiohead, OK Human instead of OK Computer. Does that have anything to do with Radiohead?
No, but OK Human, they used no guitars or anything. It's all orchestral.
Okay, this
arrangements. Yeah,
this makes sense. And I think it's a play on the OK Computer,
probably. But I don't think it. Like I don't know if Radiohead were in contact about this.
Right.
I don't think Tom York was notified.
Production, artwork, marketing. Yeah. Hold on a minute. Let me look at this.
You're
right
going
here.
Through the credits.
Well, I'm just looking at what's going on here. Okay. See if they mention it at all. Well, this is going to be a dive for me later on.
They have a very fascinating career.
Yeah, it's going to be a dive. I'll spend probably about 17 minutes on it. okay, so we got the Teal Album, which is covers, Black Album, original stuff, OK Human, you got this weird thing. And then you get something that I had remembered, Van Weezer, which is all original again?
All original. So the idea behind Van Weezer is they were asked to open a stadium tour for Green Day and Fall Out Boy. So they wanted new...
I remember this.
They wanted, like, new original music that they thought would, like stadium rock music. So that's what that record is. It's mostly, like, a lot of, like, big guitars and tapping and things like that, you know.
Cool. Are they good enough to do that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Rivers, he's a great guitar player.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I know nothing about it. I didn't even know he was that good of a guitar player.
Yeah, he grew up listening to, like, Yngwie Malmsteen, whatever his name is.
Interesting.
Yeah. Not for me, but, you know.
Yngwie,
yeah. Like, so he's, like, really into
Shrapnel
that
Shrapnel
kind of
Records, early 1980s.
Yeah, he's into that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to, Van Weezer. And when did they record? And then we're gonna listen to this one song from here.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back and talk about these four albums.
Sure.
Based on the seasons.
Yes.
And also the thing between them and Toto.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that really quick.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're listening to, this is off the White Album, 2016.
Yep.
And we're going to listen to the title, well, the first track on this, which is called
California Kids.
California Kids. Here we
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
When you wake up, cobwebs on your eyelids, stuck in rigor mortis. Whoa. Just get going till you hit the ocean and you turn California. forgot them.
That was the beginning of the next song?
That was the beginning of, what's the next song even called?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about Weezer.
Yeah, you don't. We're all learning together today.
Okay, so that was pretty good. I was telling Michael Aaron to send me one song from each album, and I'll make a playlist and listen to it when I go to Albany next week to go record shopping at Last Vestige, which is a great record store in Albany.
In Albany?
Yeah. Totally worth it. It's been there forever, since the probably 80s, if not 90s, but it's really cool.
Shout out independent record stores.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, they're awesome.
My favorite is Dark Side Records in Poughkeepsie.
Okay. I haven't been there. I got to go.
That's a good one.
When I was in the city last weekend, I went to a Japanese game store, and it was all, for the most part, all imports, Japanese stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was games, manga, like records. But that record section was really cool. But I did get a copy of, I'm always looking for stuff that's fun for DJing, and I did get a import version of the Thong Song, which I'm pretty stoked about, because I've been looking for that for
great
a while.
Song.
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
Anyways, okay, so Van Weezer happens, right? And then in the 7 minutes we have left here, let's talk about this in two things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, we got four albums called SZNZ?
Seasons, yeah. They're technically EPs that are,
gotcha.
Like, if you put them together, it's an album. And they're all based on, like, the seasons.
Yeah, like Vivaldi.
Yeah.
Like the Vivaldi thing.
Exactly.
Except for it's not Vivaldi, it's Weezer.
Except it's a 90s rock band. Yes.
Viv Weezer. Viv Weezer.
They're good. Yeah.
Okay, so you got Spring, Summer, and these are all vocal. They're not instrument. They're like just...
No, they're rock. They're a big band.
They're rock.
Yeah.
Rock.
Rock records, yeah.
And how many songs we got on each of these
things? I think five or six on each of them.
Man, this one... Well, wait a minute.
I'm not sure.
This one's got eight.
Wow.
This first one has eight.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with it.
Spring.
The last time I saw Weezer, they were touring the seasons, and they played like song from each.
There's
like
eight on each of them.
Oh, wow.
It looks like there's eight.
So they're like full. I mean, I would consider that a full record, you know? I mean, that's...
Well, it says an EP, but...
I don't know.
But once again, I'm looking at this, and it says the total length is 27 minutes for the third one. The fourth one is Winter. Okay, so far there's eight songs on each of these things.
Yeah.
The last one, I Want a Dog.
That's a good song.
Okay, that's hot.
Yeah.
This one also has eight, and it's 24 minutes. Okay, so it looks like all these are under 30 minutes long, which is still like a 1970s album. Iambic pentameter. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So you have these four things going on that... I wonder if you can just buy. Probably could buy them all in like a vinyl set where all four were on.
Yeah, I think that's how they sold it.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. So that was the last thing they released,
And I believe they're in the studio making another record. Yeah.
Okay. On that note, right?
Sure.
As I've learned a ton about Weezer today, we were also decided that Michael Aaron's going to come back on, and we're going to talk about Brokeback Mountain.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie.
On the cover of the Red Album,
everyone,
Rivers kind of looks
Looks like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like Jake Gyllenhaal from that movie. So I was like, oh, we got to have a Brokeback Mountain
discussion
going on here.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And great acting.
Yes.
Heath Ledger. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay, so we have a couple minutes left here, and we're going to talk about the Toto.
The Toto incident.
Weezer. We'll call it the Toto incident. So I believe Weezer records.
So this is
you know about this, right?
This is the timeline. Rough timeline.
Great.
A fan on Twitter kept posting every day, like, Weezer, you guys got to cover Africa by Toto.
Okay.
And then it eventually caught on, and Weezer got a hold of it, and they instead recorded and released a cover of Rosanna.
Yes.
By Toto. And it's great. And then Toto, in response, releases a cover of Hashpipe.
I remember this, right?
And then,
which is funny, hearing Toto play
Hashpipe, yeah. And then Weezer releases a cover of Africa, and that like went viral. Like
that went viral.
That was kind of like Weezer's first big radio hit in years.
Yeah, and it was fine. I listened to it, but it just sounded like the original.
It just
so I was like why
original.
Would you just re-record that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
And then I guess
did it end?
It didn't end. Steve Lukather, the guitarist of Toto, released this. Like he was like getting interviewed. Did you ever see this? He was getting interviewed. Everyone should go look it up because it's kind of crazy.
Okay.
Steve Lukather released an interview where he was talking, and I guess he and Rivers have some sort of beef now about how this all went down, and he said that he feels disrespected by Rivers Cuomo. Or it's like a lot of drama.
That's funny.
You know, Steve Lukather, he's great.
Oh, he's amazing! I saw him play with Ringo last year.
Me too.
Year.
Yeah,
yeah. You saw that, right?
I saw Ringo in 2019.
Okay, I saw it last year. I went to Radio City.
It's
and
awesome.
Saw that.
It's a gift to see Ringo.
Yeah, and I don't know who was in it. The bass player for Average White Band was in it, and it was awesome.
And the keyboardist from Men at Work, because I know they played...
The guitar player from Men at Work,
They played, Land Down On
Yeah, Colin Hay.
Colin Hay.
And then the drummer was Greg Bissonette.
From...
Well, he did... Bissonette was in all those... he's a huge studio guy, but he also was in all those Steve Vai, David Lee Roth albums.
Didn't he play drums in Toto?
Bissonette? No. He might have at one point. But
I know
that,
Toto was like a...
They had the brothers.
Yes.
No, one of them died. Oh, God. What was the drummer's name? I should know this. We only have a... Man... Okay, I'm not going to remember. Everybody, don't shoot the messenger here. Get mad at me. You know who I'm talking about. Those amazing studio musicians from Toto.
Awesome.
But okay, it's 8:59, and I have to put this on so that we have to make sure that
we're compliant.
Yeah, the PSAs go the PSA way.
Absolutely.
Anyways, it's awesome to have Michael Aaron here, DJ Nuts for Mark 2. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. I'm going to try to be here tomorrow. I'm going to see if I can get in the building to have Jasmine Crow on. We're going to come back and talk about Brokeback Mountain, though, yo.
Shout out Weezer.
That's right. Shout out to Weezer and anybody else listening. We love you all, and later, Gators.
Have a beautiful day.
They're
touring next summer.
Happy New Year from your friends and DJs at WONY, WONY 90.9 FM, Oni Mata. Thank you for a great year of listening and keeping it locked.
D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe, please, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe, please, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.